Hi all, I'm continuing to do some audio blogs alongside with my written blogs. I'm looking through 2 Corinthians, we're in chapter 4, and I want to look at the subject that I've entitled Don't Mess with the Word, or Don't Mess with the Word of God, or Don't Mess with the Bible. So you're going to need to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and just one particular verse where it says this: but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Very striking verses or verse. Now, earlier in 2 Corinthians 2, Paul tells us of those who were peddlers of God's word. Now, they either diluted the gospel or altered the gospel to make it more appealing and acceptable to their audience. Their aim really was to gain a large following, and the money that came with that following. And Paul returns to this theme here in chapter 4 and verse 2, and he declares that he refuses to tamper with God's word. Well, that is an incredibly powerful phrase. But instead, he's committed to the open statement of truth. In 2:17, the motivation appears to be money. In 4:2, the agenda is unclear. Certainly money may well have come into it, but there are other factors that I think we could consider. Now, so we have to consider, why would people tamper with God's word? Well, that is either to retain or to expand perhaps their power base, to increase their popularity, or to avoid even controversy or discomfort that is created with preaching truth. Some do so because of maybe personal distaste for truths that are hard in Scripture and appear to be hard when preaching, or even to protect themselves from harsh and difficult comments from people that they know and love. And they fear that in preaching Scripture in a particular way, they might lose people. It may be they tamper with God's word for a personal gain. They want to achieve personal things, so just twist it this little bit. Or perhaps even to excuse their own bad behaviour to cover their own sin. Now, you only have to look across our nation to see that we can ignore and stretch and change Scripture. And the biblical, the use of biblical language seems to have gone completely out of the window. Somebody recently described their church to me in terms of single-digit numbers and letters. We are a 3IG4720 church. And I thought, to be honest, I thought, I have not got a clue what you are on about. So we are beginning to use marketing terms rather than biblical language for who we are. And one of the more obvious instances is the marginalising or rejecting of things that we would hold true and dear. So I know in my own time of leading churches, the issue of things like penal substitutionary atonement became a huge controversial issue. Now, some say that they didn't reject penal substitution, but they wished only to redefine it. What does that mean? They wanted to redefine it that made it more palatable and to not give an offence to society, and so that we appeared to be more compassionate and less violent in our views of Christianity. I can remember some saying that penal substitution wasn't to be denied, it was simply to be dethroned from its status as the dominant and controlling model for what Christ accomplished And it needed to be relegated, really, as one of many valid metaphors for the sake of being having a more holistic view of Christ's savings work. Look, if we tamper with God's word, like something like penal substitution, then the issue is, what next? If the radical message of the cross, in which Jesus Christ has in our place propitiated the wrath of a holy God more than they can ever swallow, who is wrong? The postmodern world or us? I'll leave that for you to judge, to see whether you believe it's true. Another example with tampering in our day would be the tendency to disregard certain teachings because they are difficult and pose a question about life in the 21st century. I think particularly the explosive growth among evangelicals about egalitarianism, the rejection of distinctions in the role and gender between male and female. Whether in marriage or in ministry, it's huge. It's divisive. To be honest, I'm a little frightened to talk about it from the pulpit because you're not sure what is going to come back. What they insist is that has occurred is that a new hermeneutical paradigm or a new hermeneutical model for reading scripture has emerged that enables them to see that certain New Testament guidelines or principles previously thought to be timeless and binding on the conscience of Christians everywhere were in fact just culturally accommodating. Wanting to be seen as progressive and in touch with the cutting edge of contemporary scholarship and complementarianism view of men and women was just abandoned for easier, more palatable perspective that is more culturally acceptable. And again, it's not where we are now that's a concern, it's where it leads to next. Another example, what I would consider tampering with God's word would be the growth of amongst professing evangelicals who now find an active participation in church life unappealing, worse still, unnecessary. We've actually put so much now that we can see that we don't need people. We don't need to be with people. And I honestly don't think that COVID or lockdown has helped this. We can watch church. We can participate in church from our own bed or sofa. I've been accused on many occasions as having a narrow view and an arrogant view in regard to the issue of salvation, the redemptive work of Christ. For me, is the foundation of everything. But conscience, faith in him alone, Christ alone, has been discarded now right across our nation for an inclusive view of God and salvation that recognizes that you can be saved in all and most religions and gods. The term multi-faith is now very common. It's dangerous, is it not, for evangelicals to have a view on same-sex marriage or gender. Another of my concerns today would be in the area of teaching and preaching. There seems to be a diminishing loss of confidence in the final authority of Scripture, and the failure to believe and act upon the life-changing power of God's word. You ask, well, was the Bible ever mentioned in that sermon? Did Did they ever go to a text? Did they ever recognize the context of that text? Was it lifted verses from here and there that make something completely different to what the context says? If I may just for a moment ask, do countless pastors simply no longer believe that biblical text accurately explained, passionately applied, has the power to build the church? Operating with a secular standard of what constitutes a success and under the pressure to facilitate church growth, do we have to resort to a gimmick, to technology, to props, to marketing techniques, to entertainment, to the abandonment and casting aside of exposition? This only will lead to the rejection of the final authority of Scripture in church life. So my appeal is this: whatever your standing in church life, whatever your calling, whatever your career, whatever your ministry, surely we have a position and a responsibility to stand up for the Word of God. Where are the people that will stand up for the Word of God? That will say, no, I have renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with God's word, but we will preach the open statement of the truth because we believe the word of God changes lives. That's my appeal. God bless you all.